Today's episode of the Sacktown Royalty Show is brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider in spoken audio information and entertainment. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want.
It's the Sacktown Royalty Show. Here's your host, Greg Wissinger.
Welcome to the Sacktown Royalty Show. I'm your host, Greg Wissinger. Excited to be welcoming a first-time guest to the show. You know him from the Kings pregame and postgame live shows, Jim Cosmore. Jim, how you doing?
Greg, it is an honor to be on. I'm looking forward to this. We should have a lot of fun.
Yeah, and we've got so much to talk about from the Philadelphia game that, we can't.
Yeah, good point. That was kind of disappointing. That was a big wah-wah. The people in Philly got to learn how to get their hockey ice and their basketball courts in sync, don't they? That was a kind of a stinker.
Yeah, it was. I know from what I was seeing, like Katie said on Twitter, that she like stepped on the court to ask for an update and about lost it and about fell over.
Yep.
So I think we can all agree it's for the best they didn't send our guys out to play on that. But
you're absolutely right.
Disappointing to say the least.
Safety is paramount. Yeah, especially because it's a winnable game and you're catching the Sixers team that A, is struggling, B, is not 100%. You're thinking, all right, maybe a chance to go 2-1, get a little mojo working on this road trip. So there's another reason that it's a big thud that they didn't play the game in
Absolutely.
Philadelphia. That's a real stinker. The only thing good that came out of it was that we tried to get a couple of hashtags started on King's pregame and postgame, which I guess was one show tonight because there was a game. And that when Boogie was going down the floor with two big brooms or two big things to swab the deck,
yeah.
We were trying to get the hashtags of Zamboogie, hashtag Zamboogie, or hashtag Cuzzoni. I think it was Cuzzoni. Zamboni. Cuzzboni. It was hashtag Cuzzboni and the other hashtag. So we were trying to get that. That's about the only positive, Greg, that we got out of the evening.
Well, at least tonight wasn't a total loss. But if we pivot just kind of to the season in general, I mean, it's definitely had its ups and downs so far. I guess one of the biggest things that I want to ask your opinion on is, you know, we've seen some inconsistency with starting lineups. We don't even know for sure who the Kings were going to roll out as the starting lineup against Philly, since Dave Ayer likes to keep it a secret and keeps mixing it up. I mean, what do you make of all that? Is it just trying to figure out what works, or do you think there's something else going on there?
Well, what I think is this team just doesn't have the firepower where you can set a starting five and let the other team counter to it. The Kings are still in a mode of countering to who their opponent happens to be. That can be decent if you've got the slices to do it. It can also be difficult because guys continue to have their roles change. I talked to Doug Christie, my partner on Kings pregame and postgame live, and the former Kings great. That's one thing that we always point out is, you know, you're at the advantage. When you've got five you can throw out there, let the other team adjust to you. And then the guys know on the bench what they're supposed to do and when they're supposed to come in. If Dave Yeager thinks that Aaron Aflalo is his starting two, let him be the starting two. But let Ben McLemore understand he's coming off the bench at a certain time and he's supposed to do A, B, and C. So I do think that they're in still a getting to know you phase of the season. We're not even a quarter of the way into the season. But that's one thing, Greg, that stands out to me about the way the Kings are constructed currently.
Yeah, and it seems like an issue not necessarily even just with the starting lineup. I mean, even the rotations, the bench units, who's getting minutes, who isn't, on a night-by-night basis, that seems to still be something being worked out. And, you know, at a certain point, I also wonder how much of that is on the coaching and how much of that comes down to the roster construction that, you know, Vlade and crew really were able to do this summer, where there's a lot of duplicate pieces right now.
Yeah, it's... I mean, on some levels, I'm supposed to be a journalist, but quite frankly, there's a fan in me that's why I love sports and that's why I watch them. So there's a layer of frustration there. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know who's coming in. I don't know what they're doing. I don't know when Willie Cauley-Stein is going to get some minutes. And so you wish that there was a regularity to what's happening, but you're right in pointing out the team that they've been able to cobble together does have some pieces that are duplicates. Maybe that was done for a purpose because none of those players may be capable of 82 games of performing at the highest level. But maybe if you get duplicates as a four, as a backup four, that you may be able to get 82 games of talent out of it or 82 games of production out of it. So maybe that was their thinking in having Omri Caspi come back and then signing Tolliver and having him be a part of the puzzle with a stretch four. Maybe they wanted to have some duplicate pieces where they felt that the depth, listen, we all understand there aren't a lot of guys on the roster who are going to be lead guys on a championship team, but they could be eighth, ninth men. Mm-hmm. They felt maybe if they put those pieces together, maybe they get 82 games of production. You know, again, we've got a long way to go, but right now I think Coach Yeager's kind of in the feeling out phase.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, I mean, the depth is certainly there, even if there's not an elite guy at every position. I mean, like you said, the starters at most positions, you know, take away, you know, Gay and Cousins and maybe Collison, but you take away those guys and you think about power forward or shooting guard, you know, our starters aren't really in line with the starters on championship caliber teams. But you go to the bench guys, and there's not a huge drop-off from that starting lineup. You know, and the bench depth is probably stronger than most places.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It certainly can be if utilized in the right way. And that's what they paid Dave Yeager to do, figure out what those pieces are and when they're going to use them and how they're going to get the most production out of them. I would think that most anyone in the NBA would agree. The layer of talent that DeMarcus Cousins has is certainly the type of talent you can build around to win a championship. I don't think there is an argument as to who the best all-around center in the game is. Now, it's just a matter of fitting the right pieces around. There are times when I watch Rudy Gay play and I think, wow, he's fabulous. And there are times when I think he would be very good on another team. I don't know if it fits on this with this puzzle. But again, I've been away for a while, Greg, so this is – you know, I'm still kind of getting up to speed on the way they're building this franchise and what direction they're trying to go. But they're a ways away. They're not a player or two away from being a top four team in the West. They're a ways away, but they've got the centerpiece in the middle. It's just a matter of, you know, what the future holds. If they feel they're going to keep that centerpiece and try to build around it again, or if they feel that centerpiece is the piece they have to ship out in order to get things going. The bench is fine. It's fine. In fact, tonight on our pre- and post-game show, we showed a graphic about the best bench scoring. You know, Philadelphia's up there. The Lakers are up there. The Kings weren't in the top five. But I think the Kings do have a layer of production. I think Ty Lawson is learning now better as a backup what his role is and how he can propel this team. I think they do have some pieces in the right spot, and I do think that the bench is – can be a bright spot on a regular basis for this team.
Yeah, it seems like more than anything, you know, bench, starting unit, the big thing that we're probably going to need to see if the Kings are really going to have what could be called a stepping stone, a successful season, there needs to be some sort of consistency. You know, coming out with good energy to start games, getting consistency from, you know, to where you know what you're getting from the starters, you know what you're getting from the bench, kind of night in and night out. And yeah, you know, like I said, it's a growing process, and we're just not there yet with this team.
You know what? Doug and I were talking about this. We were getting ready for a show recently, and I said, you know, typically, once you hit the quarter post of the season, you kind of know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You really kind of know who you are. And so I said to him, you know, when do you think you know who the Kings are? And I had a number in my head, and he said, you know, because Collison was out for the first eight games, you kind of can't use 20 games as the marker for this team. He goes, in my mind, I have 28 to 30 games. And I thought 30. I said 30 games. That was I think at the 30-game point, we're going to know what the Kings have to work with, who they truly are. Are they a team that we can think, all right, maybe they can approach 40 wins? And in an unusual Western Conference year, maybe they stay in it late enough to battle for the eighth seed. But we're going to know, you know what? They're not that. And now we have to determine, what do they do for the future? So I'm kind of at that 30-game point, so I'm giving them that 10-game cushion because Collison not only missed the 8 games, I really do think there's something to, no matter how much you work in training camp, how much you can or can't in training camp, when you miss those 8 games, whatever you did in training camp kind of gets wiped away. So it's almost as if a couple of games are his training camp. Now let's give him another 8, and so I'm going to use a 10-game cushion. If you and I have this conversation, Greg, at the 30-game mark, I think you and I will know what the Kings really are.
Yeah, and I mean, so realistically, we're pretty close to that 20 game as we're recording this. We're about 18 games in, so we've got a ways to go still, is what we're hearing. And
yeah,
and that matches up pretty closely to what we've seen on the floor. It doesn't look like a team settling into any sort of groove yet.
No, it doesn't. And I think Dave Yeager is still trying to figure out what he has, but I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. Now, talking about settling in the groove, like you said, you've been away for a while, and I know a huge portion of our readership, myself included, were ecstatic that you came back this year. How's it been settling in for you?
You know, it's been 7 years since I've been there, and I am just so amazed. I got to be honest, I'll probably end up tearing up a little bit, but when I was approached from CSN, and so people understand the mechanics of this, CSN owns the rights to televise Kings games. So they get to choose who does the pre and the post. And I was approached by CSN to do this, and it came out of nowhere. People don't know what I do right now. I work at CSN and I host a show called Sports Talk Live. And there's going to be different ways that that show gets maneuvered, but I was asked by our company president to move back to do the Kings on CSN California. And I wasn't sure I wanted to, because I had already done it. And I wasn't sure, part of the reason was I wasn't sure, Greg, if people A, wanted me back, or B, even knew who I was anyway. So it was kind of an odd, it was, you know, even when you're gone 7 years, you don't know if people remember you. But I will tell you that it has been a miraculous move to go and do these pre and post game shows on CSN California. Doug has been just a gem to work with. We have such a fun time doing shows and cracking each other up and watching the game. And I hope when people come to the game, you guys get a chance to stop by the set, because we always like to take pictures with people. And I've had so many people come up to me, and I remember them from when I was there doing Kings games in the past. And a lot of these people, when my first daughter Addison was born, they made blankets for my daughters that we still have in our house. And they asked me about my kids and how my wife's doing. And for people who don't know, my wife Sandra was Sandra Furlong, and she used to work on a show called Good Day Sacramento. Well, everyone remembered her from that. And so Sacramento holds a dear place in our heart. It was an honor to come back, but it has been, Greg, beyond my belief that people have been so gracious in me returning to do these things. I hope we can grow the position. I hope we can grow what we're doing. And I hope it lasts for a while, because I'm having a very fun time.
Yeah, I think it's great. And what's funny is, you know, you mentioned it's been 7 years. So the startling thing to me when you came back wasn't that you were coming back. It was that it had been 7 years, that, because we had dealt with so much during those years that, you know, it's like time compressed. And it was like, wow, has it really been that long? But, yeah, it's good to have you back, and really appreciate you stopping by and coming on the show tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. In a weird way, that 7 years, it's odd in that it's kind of good for me, because, as you said, you guys went through so much. You guys went through maybe losing the team. I remember Grant and Jerry being in tears on the air. They thought it was over. Kevin Johnson doing a great job with the NBA to keep the team and find ownership. And I know that there are questions as to how things have been run, but the team is there.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go through that tug of war. So I still can have maybe a more fresh view and feel good, where there are a lot of people when I talk to them, they're a little bit, you know, they're struggling over what's happened recently and some of the pain. But I think the new arena has done wonders for people's attitudes. And the one thing I will say, Greg, every time I go to a game over at Golden One Center, people are just so happy. they're happy. They know it's their team. It's their town. That whole hashtag Sacramento Proud means so – they wear that so well that it's just great to see people with a smile on their faces when you go to a game to see the Kings at Golden 1.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, again, right. I don't want to keep you all night. I appreciate you coming by. And, of course, people can check you out on the pregame live, the postgame live. You and Doug and our friend James Hamm and, you know, everyone else from the broadcast crew, you guys do an awesome job there.
We have a ton of fun. Thank you very much for having me on. We'll do it anytime. I'd be happy to check in and talk more Kings basketball. You can't help but want to do that because I think the future is eventually going to be very bright.
I like it. All right. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Greg.
Get a free audiobook and 30-day trial today by signing up at www.audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty. That's www.audibletrial.com/sacktownroyalty.